All right. So, I think we can start now because it's 12 o'clock. I'm not, maybe if my watch is 1 minute earlier. It's 12 o'clock. Can I start?
Where is Honorable Motal?
It's in touch.
Where is Honorable Motal?
I'm told he's in the meeting. Let's open the meeting. You'll see Honorable Motal. I'll call you to ask the...
We don't see the buses today.
Utu and Sidi Beng, they've connected.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We have chairs and CEO.
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. Let me take this opportunity, honorable members, to welcome you to the meeting. Before we start with our meeting, can I request everybody to mute your microphone now? We're starting with our meeting.
Thank you.
Can you mute the hand,
please? Colleagues of the society can mute this microphone.
Yes, I did, Chair.
Okay. I want to take this opportunity, honorable members, to welcome you to the meeting. This is a continuation of the annual report. Today we're meeting with the whole two entities and Sidi Beng board. So these are the entities and the board that we're going to meet today. Our agenda, can we observe a moment of silence for meditation or prayer? Amen, and thank you very much.
Amen.
I've not received the apologies, Kwaliso, from my side. Do you have any apology?
Hello, Chairman. I have the apology from the minister.
Okay.
Oh, now, Chair.
Okay.
Is it a standing apology or is it a occasional apology?
It's today's apology, Matthew.
And good day, Honorable Matthew. It's for this meeting. The apology is for this meeting. Can we then
behave?
Well, take this opportunity, the GM around. Welcome. Let's welcome you and your entities and your team to this meeting and take the opportunity to invite the whole Catchment Management Agency to take us through their annual report. I want to apologize before we start that we don't have enough time don't have the whole day to discuss issues, but we have had time for you to present and allow members to interact with your presentation. we're going to allow the chair to make a remark for 5 minutes, and then the presentation will take 15 minutes. And we'll take all the three presentations, and then we'll then allow members to ask questions. Can I welcome the chair of host and the CEO? And the CEO of Coast.
Hello. Hello, Honorable Chair. I'm here of the Brigada Khoura CMI Acting CEO.
Okay. Yes, let's proceed. You have 5 minutes for the chair, 15 minutes for the CEO for presentation. You're welcome.
Chair, can I just ask if our chair is online in the meeting now? Because I'm sitting without the chair here.
Your chair is not online. CEO, if your chair is not online, can we proceed with you? You'll have the 20 minutes for yourself.
Arsenal, thank you, Honorable Chair. You're quite generous today.
Thank you.
Chair, can I just ask, and also the Deputy Minister and all the Honorable Members, good afternoon. Can I just ask, the presentation, is it going to be uploaded on your side?
You can upload it if you have on your site, sir, please. Hello, okay. Chair.
Yes,
is it visible? Can you see the presentation now?
Yes. I can.
Okay.
Honorable members, can you see the presentation?
Yes, Chairperson.
Chair. Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Let's proceed.
Okay, now, thank you, Chair, and apologies for my chair, Mr. Bongani Manishi.
Can we send the...
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, CEO.
Thank you, Chair. And apologies for my chair. He is somewhere busy looking on the internet how to look to this meeting. But it's the presentation of the Brede Khoura Skatse Management Agency of the annual report of the year 2018-19. So, Chair, I will do the front part, and the finance part I will hand over to our CFO, Ms. Anele. She is online. Can we just move down to the next page, please? So the presentation is the purpose we present today to the portfolio committee. I will quickly go through the vision and the mission of the Brede Khoura CMI service delivery environment. What is our strategic objectives? Overview of the non-financial performance. What my employment equity and disability statistics. Total percentage of females versus males, annual financial statement for the year ending 31 March, audit outcomes, finances, and business objective to maximize cost recovery. Chair, I must say this template we receive from the department, so we just populate what is required in terms of the template. Can we move on the slide, please? Can we move on again? So the purpose is to present to the portfolio committee today. So the vision of the Breder Gouritz Capital Management Agency, it is quite a powerful one. It's saying quality water for all forever. And normally when we present, we must also give an explanation where the vision is coming from. The water for all, I mean, that is clear. Forever, it talks to sustainability of the water resource and the quality, because we are a rural water management area. And most of our water use is agriculture. And the thing is, if the quality of the water is not of a good standard, you cannot really irrigate with the water. And I mean, you can also not drink the water. And because if you cannot irrigate, I mean, the farmers cannot produce crops, you cannot export, you cannot create jobs. So the quality of the water is quite essential for us. So then the mission of the Breder Gouritz Catch Management Agency, to manage water resource responsibly through continuous engagement for stakeholders and to devolve decision making to the lowest level for the benefit of all water users in the Breder Gouritz water management area, including the environment. So what we do as a water management entity, we manage raw water resources, and we do that by consult and engage with our stakeholders and the public living in catchment. We don't provide drinking water. We ensure that resources are available and also that raw water resources is of good quality. And of course, we also protect the ecological environment in doing that. Next slide, please. Can we move on, please? If I can talk to the service delivery environment, in that year and still is, there is a critical drought, especially in our area, what they call the Klein Karoo and the Groot Karoo area. The rainfall is far below average, and I mean everybody has struggled. All the schemes of the states, of the state in many of the areas are empty for a 4 years. Impossible to make any allocations from the schemes because the water is not available. We've got the same strategic direction. There's population growth. Our towns and our areas are growing. And of course, when there's a growing population, you need more drinking water, more raw water resources to supply drinking water. And of course, also a good sewage management facility. Need to upgrade sewage works all the time. In our area, there is about just over.
What a fantastic.
In our area, there's just over 1 million people, and I mean, it's growing, especially the coastal areas, towns like George, Nysna, and Bito municipality. There's a continual influx of people, and also of people that want to retire next to the coast. Can we move on, please? I mean, I talked already about the winter rainfall was not normal, and the dams are not the same level as it was in the previous year. So in the Breder Gouritz CMI, we've got these strategic objectives. Water resource planning. I mean, that is how you plan for water resources. That is how to take the public make the public part of the process. Also our input in all planning activities of other spheres of government, also private institutions. Then the other one is water use management. This is the one where water user apply for a license, where we look at pollution control, where we do the registration of the water use, etc., the normal water use management functions in terms of the National Water Act. Then institutional engagement. This one is important for a CMI to be successful. You need to get the public and the stakeholders on board, because if they don't work with you and together with you, it's actually impossible to win. So you need them, and you need to empower and capacitate them all the time. All right. The next one is water allocation reform. This is where the efforts we put in place and the programs, how to make water more accessible, and also everything around the making of the water accessible to the people that were previously denied from the use of water. We talk here about industry and also about emerging farmers. Resource protection. Resource is meaning it is the river or is the groundwater resource. And here the action what we do is how do you protect the river, how do you protect the wetlands, how do you protect it from pollution, etc. Strategic support, I mean that's self-explanatory, and management and governance. Can we move on, please? Next slide, please. So the first one, is now too quick. Water resource planning. Let me talk around the planning applications of other government departments. The Brede CMA is a commenting authority. So everybody that is planning for a change in land use must consult with the BGCMA on to get the recommendation and in some cases also the approval. So it's an important process that we use. For example, if a municipality or somebody wants to establish a new neighborhood, etc., or an industry, so we will comment, is the water available? Must it develop new water resources? Is the services of the town efficient? Is the capacity of the sewage work efficient, etc.? So it's important to get the right things down right from the start. And it's also important when it comes to the making use of the land, when people want to develop and build houses, to we ensure that it's not within the floodline, for example, because when you build houses in the floodline, there's a real danger to property and to people. So during in this process, we ensure that this happens. And I must can also mention that in terms of the LUPA Land Use Act, there are certain time frames attached to this. So you need to comment within 30 or 60 days, depending on the application. And I mean it's important, if your process is efficient, then it means that you can quicker do the right things and also assist in the development process. Otherwise, the institution that wants to develop are waiting all the time for comments from government authorities and they cannot move forward. Thank you. Can we move to the other next slide, please? Okay, just keep that one, please. Then under water use management, just the previous slide, please. Under water use management, here is the whole process that somebody that wants to use water, the industry or individual, must apply for the approval for that type of water use. And of course, all water use must be registered. The registration part is already coming from 1 April 2002. So the water use is registered. So that's ensure for us to know what water is used in the catchment, what water is available, but also our billing that the water users are paying for the catchment management charges are based on water registration. So it's a quite important function to do. So the target was 85%, but we only achieved 66% for the registration. I must say all the systems that the Brede Gouda CMI is using, it is linked to the systems of the Department of Water and Sanitation. So that the water registration management system, this is the system we use for water registration. That one is a system of the department. Our license applications is running through a system called the eVULAS. That one is also of the department. So all the systems are integrated so the one can see what the other one is doing. But it means also because we must link from the outside into the network loop of these systems, there is many times connectivity issues. So we cannot connect all the time during a working day. And that's why we didn't achieve the target of that one, because the connectivity was not up to speed. So it's just physically impossible to achieve the target. But we work on that to find a new way to do the connections to the what they call the loop. Then the next one is the license capture. So every time when a license is approved by the Department of Water and Sanitation, it must be captured on a water registration management system. I mean, it is important. If the license is not captured, the water user is not going to pay for that water, and the system will not be aware of that. And I mean, the target was 100% because it's very important to achieve that function, but we achieved 92%. But the problem why was not achieved, that 8%, is again a connectivity issue. It's not physically possible. Then the other one is percentage. The last one that you cannot see, percentage of licenses recommended as per regulation. So this one, the Breedegouwer CMA is a commenting authority. So the water users apply on the system. We process it. We're making a recommendation, and the system is put forward into the department for final decision. So in that year, our target was 90% to do our part within that 270 days that's allocated in terms of regulation, and we achieve 93%. So we actually exceed that target. We're very proud of that one because the processing of license applications are critically important because it's the only way you can allocate new water, make industries grow, provide additional drinking water, etc. to towns. The next slide, please. We're still on water use management. It is still where approval is required for undertake of water use.
CEO, you're not doing good in time. Can you move with speed so that your CFO can come in?
Okay, Honorable Chair, I will try now to move at the speed of 10 liters per second.
Okay.
So general authorization, our target was 100%. We achieved that. The next one is the number of audit reports. When a license is issued or a general authorization, the water users must comply to certain conditions. And I mean, we check that the water user complied to that condition. So our target was to do 80 audits. We actually achieved 92. Then the number of confirmation letters sent. This one is to do with the VNV. How do you verify the water that was used in the qualifying period, 96 to 99? So we target to verify 200 properties, but we achieved 153. That's about 75%. And the reason was that there was a delay in the project due to issues around the implementer of the project. Can we move on, please? The next one is institutional and stakeholder relations. So this one is critically important for the VGCMI. How do we empower the people living in our area, also the youth, the school children, the students, etc.? So our target is every year to reach quite a lot of children during Water Week, Youth Week, International Women's Day, Mandela Day, etc. So our target was 4,500, and we oversee that target, and that was because of the increased focus. Then I can just stand quickly still the grant projects funded. We started a policy, a program inside the Breedegouwer CMI, where NGOs, non-profit organizations, can apply for a grant to implement a project that is water-related. This one is in our thinking, a way to bring water resource management, that's many times a very theoretical thing, closer to the community. So here we do things like community gardens, aquaculture, rainwater tanks, empowerment, etc. And then the forums, lastly, because on that one, on that page, you need forums, otherwise you cannot do it. I mean, we only about 20 people in the field, and I mean 20 people cannot do an area of 70,000 square kilometers. That's why you need the forum and the public to actively engage also in water resource management. They are our ears and eyes on the ground. Successful. Next slide, please. The rain, we also got a program to install rainwater. This one is linked to the emerging farming subsidy. So we run a program to install these tanks between 2,500 and 10,000 liters. It's mostly used by people to do small scale type of agriculture, like a planting of vegetables, etc., that for a livelihood that they can maintain themselves, and the program is actually very successful. We planned for 375, we achieved 330, and the reason for the underachievement was just slightly there was an increase in VAT and an increase in some of the cost. Next one, please. The water allocation reform, this one we take very serious inside the Brede Gouda CMA. It is linked to the water use applications also. I mean, it's just automatic when an emerging farmer is applying for a water use license. It's almost guaranteed that the license will be issued. But what we also do, we support emerging farmers technically how to apply and how to use the water, etc. And then also there are financial applications, financial assistance available outside. So we also assist emerging farmers in completing these types of documents to get access to the available subsidies.
CEO, let's get your CFO for your time. You're left with 3 minutes.
Okay, Chair, thank you. Can I, next slide, please? Is it the CFO must take over now, Chair?
The CEO, your CFO on finances.
Okay. Good afternoon to all the members. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Good afternoon to all the members. My name is Zanele Mngoma, the CFO. Okay. Next slide. My presentation will cover the financial position of the organization for 2018-19. On the financial position, this one is covering the assets of the organization together with the liabilities. As we can see the top part, the assets of the organization is amounting to 103 and the liabilities is amounting to 10 million, which means like the company is doing well. It has enough resources to cover its liability, and also the financial position of the agency is in good position. Okay, which means the assets exceed the liabilities on this one. Okay, next slide. Next slide, please. Next slide is about the financial performance, whereby the income versus the expenditure. You will also see, members, also on this one, our total revenue compared to the expenditure is higher. The total revenue is 115 million, which is made out of the grant received from the department, late payment on water resource charges, penalty on late registrations, which amounts to 115 million. And the expenditure is 64 million, which is made out of salaries, depreciation, lease, and other operational expenses. Also, this slide is showing that the income exceeds the expenditure, which means the business is has a bright is got a the resources are enough to cover the expenses, which is for the bright future. On the cash flow statement, next slide, please. Okay. The cash flow statement also is showing how the money comes into the business and also leaving the business. So the money that comes into the business is 88 million. The next slide. Okay. The money that comes into the business is 88 million and the payment for that particular year was 25 million. The payment was for suppliers and employees. Okay, and then the third part of that is showing the cash flow from investing activities, which is all the assets that the business purchased on that particular year, which amounts to 533. Also, this one is showing that the business has got a bright future going forward. Okay, next slide. This slide is covering the audit outcomes for that particular year. The agents received an unqualified audit opinion with findings. The finding one was non-compliant with Section 13G of the BBBE Act 53 of 2003. The Act reads as follows. All the government spheres must submit the audited financial statements together with the annual report to the BBE Commission. And this was a new act which we were not aware of it. That's why we end up not complying with it. And then the other finding was related to the debtor's account, which was inherited from the department. The inability to access the sheet on balance and adequate supporting documents were not provided. So some of the amount that we inherited, we cannot verify whether is it a true reflection of what their customer owes to us or not. So that also was a finding from the auditors. Failure to take appropriate steps to collect revenue due to the agency. The reason for the failure here, we've got about 8,200 customers. So we could not send email. Yes, ma'am.
I've given you extra 2 minutes. Now your time is up. So you'll come back next. When you receive. Yes. You'll come back when okay. We answer questions. For now, let's give it to another agent, catchment agency. Usutu?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Usutu?
Okay, Chair. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. My name is Thomas. It's Kabadi, the CEO of Nkomati Usutu, Catchment Management Agency. I'm apologizing for my chair. She has been struggling from Bushback Ridge to join us online. She has not been able to do that.
Okay.
So, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, colleagues from the Department, I greet you all. I'm going to present to you the IUCMA annual report. I'm trying to load it from here. If I can, then I can control it.
Okay.
I hope members can see it.
Yes, we are able to see it. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Chair. Okay, so the content of the presentation will be the report, the introduction, and then I will go into the context of the management, and then we'll look at the overview of our financial and then financial, and then a bit of a challenge. The purpose is to provide the control committee with the information to CMA 2018-19 annual financial statement as well as the non-financial performance. If you look at the map, Chair, this shows that CMA is an international transbasin. Of course, we share with Eswatini as well as Mozambique. And the context of the management is part of international business which we share with both Mozambique and the Kingdom of Eswatini. We govern by some treaties and agreements. geographically, the water management area is the artery linking South Africa's industrial heartland to that of our neighbors. So we have some kind of exports. Currently, we are characterized by inadequate distribution because of the rainfall patterns varied, the stress in both quantity and quality, and also have some strategic water exports in the form of interbasin transfer for ESCOM and then international organizations as well. The vast disparity is between social groups in our water management area in terms of employment, opportunities, education levels, as well as understanding of the management of water resources. But the challenges to water reform, there are many localized examples where there is some of voluntary sharing. Ecotourism becomes very important to us because we have it, Kruger, here, and then we have other systems here that facilitate ecotourism. Attributes of institutions include a sound institutional mechanism for effective stakeholder relations that encourage collaborative planning. We put mechanisms in place to ensure effective governance. We have a youthful blend with the experienced team here, and then we have systems that can help us both in the form of monitoring and communication. Sure, the slide gives us the legislative powers, our findings and powers, Section 80 of the National Water Act, 1975, as I've listed them through there, including declaration of existing lawful water use, registration of existing lawful water use, validation and verification, and then water use charges. I want to go straight into the performance. The overall performance for year 18-19, we could have achieved 23% of our target, but we managed 78%. Chair, to go into the program by program, under governance and the CEO, we had submitted all the legislative requirements as per the legislation, all quarter reports, namely the performance report, revenue and expenditure, as well as the PSMA compliance checklist. We submitted everything. We received media exposure during 18-19, and due to demand for more projects, we did more of the advertising. The ISMA social media platform is working very well, including the visibility of CMA. We have a website, the International Water Resource Management Engagement and Expos. Our dashboard, we are the leaders when it comes to the internet use in the country. And then we also have a newsletter. We had this borehole, which we see later in performance. Community challenge, access water, and then we did it for them. The Mkondo municipality is managing that one, maintaining it for them. Resource protection and risk. We have additional monitoring points, which we added during the year to ensure that we get the right sources of water to indicate if the quality training is good or bad. We also installed online monitoring probes that will help us that when you sit at the office, you can actually see what is going on in the catchment. In our monitoring program, we have aquatic and terrestrial vegetation, fish biology, macroinvertebrate biology, and geology, that's biomonitoring. This slide, Chair, just gives us some kind of comparison between 2017-18 and 2018. If you look at the slide on this one, we have a crocodile catchment, and that is the E. coli. A percentage compliance improved in 2018-19. If we come to electrical conductivity as well, we had some improvement in the compliance, which means that slowly, gradually, we are doing some work to ensure that the water quality in the water management area is quite good. And our river distance planning and operations, and that's the water resource planning. Models available, we have the HydroNet, which I said we are the first ones to use in the country, Hydra, Hatch, and then GHI. We combined it in this diagram, form of this diagram, so that we have the rainfall station, we have the real-time river station, we get data into our UCMA data server. It is processed, and then we disseminate information either via email, SMS, or on the stakeholders to have a look at. One of the systems we use here is auditing of the water that we are located. We are using the same hydrolet. If you see, the blue, it's what the people use, the irrigation board use. And that is what we gave them, the annual limit. So we are able to check if they are over abstracting, then we can go to them. So this slide just tells us that after the drought in 2016, IUCNA, using the technology that we have, managed together with the stakeholders to ensure that there was no problem with water availability. If there is restriction, we restrict everybody and make sure there is water in the system so that everybody, including the international obligations as well as the environment, can get their share, their interest. We also use it to look at our water application status. This graph tells you, the green one will tell you this plot or this plot or this users have been verified. The yellow ones have not been verified. So we use this one in monitoring. The river planning system. We updated the White River subsystem hydrology. Which it has got three more dams, and that's why probably we like it, because everything which has got a lot of information. We revised the hydrological analysis for the Longmire and Pencroft dams. We use the White River catchment because it's limited and have got only two quaternary catchments. It's well understood. Like I said, we have got information, the background. We're going to overcome the drought, like I said earlier on, chair, because we have a committee. We all sit down and then we plan together with head of DWS head of planning system. We still in the water allocation plan, which method which we try to develop in the year and the region, and we are following the White River catchment. With international obligations, we manage an average of 90% compliance. And we also have a farmer here, Mr. Maseko, to get the water right. And then we also help to install a borehole on his farm so that he can farm. Water resource utilization. This is the exception that is with licensing. The ICMA license water, the EWULA, has been quite effective. And under the year we're talking about, we did quite well, is implementing the groundwater strategy. In doing that, we drained 13 boreholes and then in the Ossutu catchment at a cost of 1.6. Two of them, we provided facilities so that the people in Mayflower and Jericho can use some small communities in the farmland. Percentage water use authorization application process and the department within the regulated 300 days was about 3%, which was quite good. And the EIS and EMP, all the applications were received, commented on during the year and review. Our stakeholder interaction and empowerment, our quarterly catchment forums for the three sub-catchments, Crocodile, Upper Komati, Lower Komati, and Mundo Usutu. We have these quarterly meetings. We support core consolidation to do the VMV, a program consultation, water allocation plan, tariffs, and then the consultation with our stakeholders. National Water Week, we do it quite extensively. Quarterly, we have clear, we did the river cleaning campaign, agricultural workshops, transboundary stakeholder meetings, school career expos. We also gave bursaries to needy students. And in the year that April 2018, we gave three and then five in 2019. Internship two, we continue to do that. We have 10 in 2017-18. And one of the interns was employed. Four of them in the private sector. In 2019, we have 14 interns, and which we are keeping now. And the corporate, sorry, Chair, I need to wet my throat. And the corporate services, we had some cost containment measures put in place. Human resource division, we recruited 21 people who are in the system now helping us. Awarded bursary to external people, as I mentioned. We had a successful consultation to our stakeholders so that they agreed. And I'm proud to say that we had an unqualified audit once again. since establishment where they have had unqualified audit throughout. We also had an improvement in terms of work awarded to BBEE, that is the BBEE spend, which is our master expense plan in the year. Our satellite offices have been digitized with the local area networks, so that when we sit here, we are able to communicate, we improve equity as well. When it comes to employment equity stats, Chair, I can say that we've got more females than males in the organization. The ratio is 51 females, 49 males. So we're trying to make sure we identify diversity and employ them. IT services, we did our master systems plan during the year and review. Information management system, we have the hybrid high travel, so that they can interact with each other. Digitizing the satellite offices, as I mentioned, has been part of that. Chair, maybe I will ask the acting CFO to go through quickly with our financial information. Thank you, Chair. Come on,
CFO.
Hello, morning. Thank you.
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that should be enough. Thank you. Just to go through the financial highlight, to confirm that we received an unaudited unqualified opinion this year for our audit for the year under review. In the year, we reported a net surplus of 3.27 million by the end of the financial year under review. With regard to the income that the IUCMA collected, this was made up of deferred income, which was deferred from the prior years that we didn't, the augmentation it was delayed in receipt from DWS, as well as invoicing processes that were continued in the financial year. So total income received for the year was 108 million. With regard to the expenditure for the period, we recorded total spend under operations for 107 million, and then we also recorded 68 million under remuneration. Our ratio between OPEX and remuneration was 63% to 37%. This resulted in a surplus of 40,000 for the period under review. When we then added investment revenue, we reported a net surplus of 3.27 million for the period. With regard with the expenditure and revenue, compare that to our budgeted figures. We had a movement, all the movements in the budget were approved by our accounting authority, so that was in line in terms of governance processes. The income was adjusted for the period to include investment interest that we received, which was actually not budgeted for. And with regard to the grants for the period, we adjusted that by 52 million. This was mainly to bring in, to recognize the deferred income for 2017-18 that was received late. Depreciation was not budgeted for the period, so that remained, it was not a budget amount on the budget. So in total, we performed within our budget limitations. We had reported net surplus, which gives us confidence that we are a going concern. We only had one issue highlighted in our audit, which was irregular expenditure of 401,000. This expenditure was due to an appointment made for a service provider whose terms of reference were then extended to a scope that was not initially appointed for. But other than that, we had a very productive year for the year that's under review. I think everything that's in the slide that's presented in an overview of that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. You have 1 minute to close.
Okay, Chair. I just want to look at our challenges and then how we are dealing with that. Schedule 3 delegation has been on the cards for a long time. It was given to us some time ago, but then withdrawn. We have asked for it, but we have still not received that one. That affects the regulating of our water use and our planning and operations as well. In the meantime, we have some MOUs with the Department of Water, which we are working nicely together to do some of the work on their behalf. Drought, which is a natural disaster, Chairperson, it involves water availability issues. So resource and operations and then commitments we put in place are helping to make sure that we don't go into any bad path. But we need to reiterate that we need some more facilities, maybe infrastructure, storage infrastructure in the water management. When we are dealing with pollution, we have formed nice partnerships with the departmental structures here, SAP, MPA, South African Human Rights Commission, DWS, municipalities, DIA, we have all come together and we are making sure that we are helping each other to remove this kind of problem. Revenue, the debtors book we received in 2017 has given us some problem, but we are working on it. We have got people who are helping us to clean the book and then try to recover some of the debt. We are interacting with our...
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Can we then have Citibank?
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, and good afternoon to Honorable Members of Recluse, the Portfolio Committee. Honorable Deputy Minister, my name is Mathilis David Dukoko. Am I audible, Honorable Chair?
Yes, you are.
Connected to this virtual meeting from the board, it's myself, the chairperson. I've got Moss Tombeni, or I can say all the board members currently, okay, together with the CE, the COO, and the CFO.
Okay.
The approach that you are going to...
Yes.
Hello, Chair.
Can we ask... The presenter, the previous learner, to take out the presentation so that you can load the new one.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Yeah. She chairperson of Lepelle, of Citibank. You have 5 minutes to make your remarks. And then 20-minute presentation. So I'm saying you must arrange your time properly.
Okay, no, thanks, thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks, Chair. Good afternoon, Chair.
Use your camera. Use your camera.
Oh, where is my camera now?
There in the boardroom, Chairperson.
No, my team is in the boardroom. I'm connecting from other the boardroom there.
Okay. We're listening to that done it can, but we prefer to see you.
But for the sake of time, my team at the boardroom, who are going to do the main presentation, will connect from that side, Chair. I was saying, okay. My name is Matiliso. I took this opportunity to greet all members of the Portfolio Committee, as well as the Deputy Minister present at the meeting today. I was saying to the Chairperson, connected are all the board members of Citibank. 9 of us is myself, Moses Mtombeni, Derek Mboweni, Mavela Dlamini, Advocate Mackenzie Mpahlele, Simpiwe Genjwa, Kala Losereko, Eric Cabroni, as well as Ivan Mutala. And from the management side, we've got our acting CE, Ibinani Shasha, the acting COO, Mpeteng Mukubun, as well as the acting CFO, KK Skwenyela. And from that side, again, we've got the company secretary, Masi Lata. I will then outrightly, Chair, propose that I hand over to the CE to both load the presentation and continue that with the presentation. We'll deal with all other logistics at the later stage for the sake of time. See. CE, are you there?
Yes, I am, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, the members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Minister of Water and Sanitation, I am going to quickly run through the presentation, but I can see that it's not loaded. Parliament was going to load it because they said it, so they arranged the meeting. Anyway, Chair, I would propose that I continue. They are not in the inquiry. I continue with the presentation while they are busy loading.
Chairperson, can you please request Inkomadi to take out the presentation from the screen so that I can load the new one? Please.
Also, too, can you do as requested, please?
Dr. Thomas.
Dr. Thomas. let's proceed in the meantime.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Our content
if you move along, you must then indicate which page you so that members can follow you.
All right, thank you, Chair. On page 2, I've got the contents page. It's the introduction, the purpose of the presentation, the area of operation achievement, progress on interventions, part 1, overview of financial performance, overview of the audit report, part 2, overview of non-financial performance, tariff determination, and the municipal debt as at 31st March 2020. Chair, I'll be running through the presentation, all of the presentation, and then we will take the questions thereafter. Our introduction, the Sibeng Water is a water board established in terms of the Water Services Act. We report to the Minister of Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation. We are a public entity under Schedule 3B, and we do bulk water, wastewater treatment, retail water services, the operate and maintenance of infrastructure, and we implement projects, capital projects, on behalf of the Department of Water and Sanitation. Our introduction is continuing, that is now page 5. Sibeng Water was established in terms of the Water Services Act. Our main business is Section 29 of the Water Services Act, which says primarily we are a water board to provide bulk water services to other water institutions within the area of our operation. We further operate in terms of Section 30 of the Water Services Act that says we can actually provide services but not limited to providing management services, training and other support. And further, with the approval of the Water Services Authority having jurisdiction in the area, we act as a service provider to the consumer. The purpose of the presentation is to present the annual report for the year 2018-2019 to give an overall performance against the predetermined objective. our area of operation, that is now page 8, Chair. We operate in the three provinces. The area of our operation was extended from 86,000 square kilometers to 100,000 square kilometers across three provinces, the Free State, the Northwest, and the Northern Cape. With regards to the water services providers, water services authorities that we are providing water to, bulk water and other services, we have in the Free State, Lejwelebutswa District Municipality, we have Nala, we have Macharing Local Municipality in the Free State. In the Northwest, we have the Dr. Ruth Sokomo Sumombati District Municipality. We have Dr. Kenneth Kaunda District Municipality, which we are servicing Makwasi Hills only. We have 2.3 Nakamujiro Molema District Municipality with its five local municipalities. Municipalities Mahikeng, Bizobotla Swaying, Ramotsere, Ratlou. In the Northern Cape, we have Sanzabane, Khamakgara, Dikgatong, Namakoi, Phokwane, Joumorolong, Kaima Local Municipality, Gasekgonyane Local Municipality. On page 10, Chairperson is the representative of our area of operation in terms of the map. We service in currently plus or minus 2.9 million population. Our achievements in 2019, that is now on page 11 and page 12 of the presentation. We have achieved the following: financial viability and sustainability. Costs were prudently managed. The revenue and surplus targets were achieved. Operational process efficiency, we have unaccounted water of 8% on Free State and the Northern Cape, where we are supplying bulk services. The water quality, we met class 1 and class 2. We have an average of 95% triple BEE. The HIV program, we actually did all the campaigns and the voluntary counseling and testing. We further have done the program in the bursaries, that is internal bursaries 55, apprenticeship 23, skills training, short courses 29, professional conferences 3. Total beneficiaries of all these was 412 employees of Sedibeng Water. Graduate program internship, we had a total of 23 for the year. Work plan skills 2019, we have submitted and the EWC approved our work skills plan. Staff turnover 2.6. Recruitment, we recruited 41 people. We have a duplicate slide, number 14, Chair, is the same as 13. Apologies for that. In terms of the financial overview, Chair will start with the financial performance for the year and the 30 June 2019. On the overall, we have an improved surplus of 74% compared to the previous year. We also have a revenue that we are looking at the increase of 10%. The cost of sales, there was an increase there of 9%, which is more or less equivalent to the revenue increase. We had a gross profit that has improved from the previous year by 12%. Other income has improved by 9%. Operating costs, they have increased by 3%. Chair, we have finance costs that have actually finance income that has decreased by 44%. This is as a result of the decrease in our cash reserves, which we are going to have a look at when we get to the cash flow. Chair, we have the total assets of the organization. The non-current assets, our financial position of 3.4 million, And we have an increase. It was a very slight increase of about 300,000, so it has reflected as a zero. We have the total current assets of 4.7 billion. Chair, you need to see that there was an increase of 4% due to the fact that we had an increase in our data school, which we'll explain later on. That is the page 17. Our reserve, Chair, have increased slightly by 2% from the previous financial year. The non-current liabilities have actually also increased. We also are concerned about that. We will discuss that at a later stage. The key financial ratios, we achieved our gross profit margin, that is page 18. The net profit has also increased. The current ratio, we have not achieved that target due to cash flow challenges that we have from time to time. Return on assets, we have actually achieved that. The debtor days, we targeted 550, but we have gone to 935. It is an unusual situation. We want to deal with in that at our in the presentation when we finalize. Debt equity ratio, also we have achieved the target. In terms of the expenditure, the overall share, we have an over of 1% over expenditure. And our expenditure is inflated by our provision for bad debt, which has shot to 58%. Due to non-payment by the customers, especially the municipalities. The administration costs also have shot up in the 2019 financial year by 18%, which is traveling and accommodation security costs, additional security due to vandalism that is happening in the area. Chair, we would want to talk to the audit report. We have had 3 consecutive years of qualified audit opinion, which is something that we want to improve on and emphasize on when we actually are taking the questions. And we also had a predetermined objective, which had material findings which range from issues of technical definitions that are not consistent with what we have on the ground versus what the department has. We have an action plan that we are tracking on a weekly basis. We have issues that we have raised with the Auditor General coming out of the qualifications for 2019. The action plan is on page 21, 22, 23. Chair, mostly the first three relate to accounting issues that relate to information that the auditors were looking for, and the information that is outstanding now is information relating to 2011 and 2014. Which we want to discuss with the Auditor General as to how we should actually go ahead and resolve the matter that is at hand. We also have the three items are together. Property, plant and equipment, we have resolved the matter now. Payables and exchange transactions, we have resolved the matter. And we have 80% of the items of the debtors, the receivables from exchange transactions. In terms of the general expenses, we have achieved 100%. The various areas, we are at 80%. The irregular expenditure investigation. The investigation is ongoing. We are going to be presenting the report to the board by the 30th of June, and take further steps in terms of treasury regulations. Chair, in terms of number 24, page 24. Okay. Page 24, we closed with a 229 million of irregular expenditure. in 2018, and the final irregular expenditure is 419 for 2018-2019. We have had a number of issues that happened in the previous financial year, where we had identified tenders that did not comply with CITB, also processes that were not followed in the tendering process. And with that, there is a case number that consequence management was actually taken, and we are busy with the current year investigation. These are the ones that we are going to be taking to the board for ensuring that proper processes are taken, better steps are taken in terms of consequence management and treasury regulation. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Chair, we want to indicate that we have had challenges with cash flow, and we are having a serious review of talking to our customers, to our creditors, in terms of negotiating as to how we should deal with our late payments. These late payments are as a result of slow cash flows that are coming from our customers, mainly the municipalities. Further steps that are taken to actually reverse our situation: we have appointed a senior manager accounting, who is a CA, and we have appointed a supply chain manager with vast experience in supply chain, and we have further arranged a debriefing session with the Auditor General for the beginning of June 2020. In terms of our commitment analysis, Chair, we have moved from 2018 to 2019 from 920 to 1 billion. In the interest of time, we have alignment of the strategic objectives, and we have aligned the strategic objectives of the department together with our strategic objectives, that is on page 30. And the alignment that is on page 31, it is the diagram on page 31. If you can move to page 31, is that showing what was the MTSF ministerial outcome, which we are reporting at, and also the strategic objectives for the Zimbabwean water. On the achievements and performance, Chair, we have done a graph for 2018 and 2019 as a comparison. The achieved for 2019 is 14, partially achieved is 7, and not achieved is 6. And compared to the previous year, there is a slight improvement in the performance of the shareholders based on the shareholders' compact agreement. In terms of the performance agreement for 2019, 30 June 2019, water quality was achieved, managed avoidable water losses was achieved, partially achieved is the reliability of supply. It was due to the leak that happened in the Free State, and also planned interruptions for the Vakamahara area. We also have the CAPEX, which was also not achieved because we could not get funding on time from the department. We have achieved the overall compliance on the maintenance plan. We also have not achieved our target on the audit opinion, which we said to be unqualified. We ended up with a qualified audit opinion. We have achieved some of the financial ratios. The one I would like to highlight, the ones that we have not achieved, is the one that is relating to the gross profit margin on the secondary activities. We had targeted 40.3%, and we actually received 36%. And on the salaries versus the staff, the staff supplies versus the total operating expenditure, we actually did not achieve by 2%. We also have not achieved the debtors' day, which we want to bring to the attention of the portfolio committee. Also, number 11 was not achieved because of the fact that we did not receive the funding on time. The rest of the other matters we have achieved. In terms of the skills, we have partially achieved. And the statutory reporting is something that we say we must improve on. It was not achieved. Chair, I would also want to... The slides are not moving. Page number. On number 41, page number 41, corporate social investment. Chair, we have a number of NGOs that we are supporting on a yearly basis. We have Lesotho, Lesedi Daycare, Riaramele School, Lokwabeng Center, Sibikelwane Special School, Emang Disability Care, Kamumo Child Care Center, JV Ecos Providers, Temuso Special School, Bosenyang Elderly Home. We have Lapala Bohle, we have Good Hope Primary, Ditabwana, we have Ekhaya Motel Child and Youth. We have supported these NGOs for the whole financial year and for the past 5 years. In terms of tariff determination, Chair, we have the following contents on the tariff determination, legislative requirements, consultation with stakeholders, cost drivers, assumptions, and tariff determination for all the regions. Chair, I would not go into the detail, but just in summary, the legislative requirements around the tariff determination is in terms of the MFMA Section 42, where the bulk service provider must actually consult with all the municipalities in their area of supply between the month of October and November. We are requested also to lodge with National Treasury and organize a bulk to be part of the all the consultations that are happening. That is SALGA, National Treasury, and the department, the municipality and its district should be part of the consultation. Not later than the 1st of December, we should actually send out the proposal to all the parties, and thereafter, on the 25th of January, we must have consolidated all the comments from all the various stakeholders and submit to the Department of Water and Sanitation for them to be able to submit to Parliament. Parliament has to actually approve the tariffs by the 15th of March. We have done the consultation in November and we did comply with all the requirements as per the previous slide. What I want to focus on is the assumption that which we have taken. The water board is supposed to be financially sound. Therefore, the tariffs that we actually are presenting, they are tariffs that are cost reflective. That is, at least we must achieve our, we must actually attain break even. Each region is ring-fenced, and we had an inflation forecast of 5.4%. We also had a tariff increase of raw water of 6.5%, which we took into account when we were doing the tariff. We also did take into account electricity of 7.81% per ESCOM multi-tariff proposal. We also included maintenance budget of 7%. And also the increase in salaries of 8.5%. Chair, I will not dwell on to the detail of the calculation. However, on the slide number 51, we have increased the rate with 7.5%. We have increased the Namapa region for 7.5 to 8.5%. Pela region 7.5 to 8.5%. Bakamakara 0 to 8.5%. The area of Northwest, which was the former Mutilo Water, 7.5. I will skip page number 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, and 63, because this is the detail of the tariff determination. The last topic that we are going to have is municipal debt. Chair, we have serious challenges. These challenges are continuing from 10 years back. We have had a challenge in collecting from the Free State, especially Machadini. They are not paying. The Free State is not paying. We have a total book of 5.5 billion, of which 60% is actually the Free State region of which has 3.6 billion. That is owing the City Bank Water 3.6 billion. The Northern Cape, we have a total of about 379 million that is due to City Bank Water. The Northwest, we have a total of 1.4 billion that is owing to City Bank Water. Chair, we have now the process that we have taken is that we need to consult at ITR at provincial level, that is at premier's level. So the Bank Water has entered into service level agreement in terms of the payment with the municipalities in the Northern Cape and Mahikeng local municipality in the Northwest. We have started with the Northern Cape. They have agreed and we have signed a payment agreement. This was done in the presence of the Premier of the Northwest Northern Cape. And if the municipalities are not adhering to that, we'll be able to escalate to the Premier. For the Northwest, we have only Mahikeng that came to us and they agreed that they are going to pay. However, the other places, the other municipalities.
Round up.
Okay.
Your time is up. Round up.
Okay.
2 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. Our proposal is that the Minister of Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation needs to communicate with the Minister of Finance so that we are able to impose Section 216 for these municipalities that are not paying us. And the intergovernmental relations must go at a higher level. The challenges in closing, Chair. The challenges that we have had is this issue of non-payment by the WSA, and also we are saying raw water quality has deteriorated. We need to put more emphasis that the department needs to consider even the increases and also the fact that we are using more chemicals to clean the water. Thank you, Chen.
Thank you very much, CE and the board. Honorable members, that was the presentation. I'm going to allow honorable members to interact with the presentation. Can I start with Honorable Sikwai? Honorable Sikwai. Honorable Seke.
Chair, thanks. Thanks very much. And let me thank
the two questions for each presentation.
Oh, meaning six per member.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, thanks, Chair. Thanks very much. And let me thank the presentations from the three entities of the Department of Water and Sanitation. One, Chair, just want to address it to the three entities. One of the key priorities of government is economic empowerment and job creation. Do you think with the budget that you are managing, are you creating enough jobs for the people of this country, specifically women and young people? My second question, Chair, it's directed to the CMAs, the two of them. The establishment of the CMAs found in the National Water Act centralizes approval for activities of CMAs via the National Office of the Department of Water and Sanitation. What are some of the challenges associated with this arrangement, and should there be a shift in this with reviewing of the water legislation? The other matter, Chair, is on the Citibank, directed to Citibank. The cover page, your first page, actually the cover page of the presentation indicates that the chief executive is acting, the CFO is acting, and the chief operation is acting. But the CE of Citibank indicated in her presentation that the two positions were filled. What is the status quo, Chair? And the other question, Citibank has regressed in terms of achieving its targets as compared to the previous years. A majority of the targets not achieved, and there was no non-compliance with the supply chain and management laws and regulations. Chair, my third question is, how did this all happen when there's leadership in the entity and actually paying themselves exorbitant incentive bonuses? And it is also the fourth question. It is also interesting that the board is highly paid amongst all the water boards, yet are the worst performers. Can the department, DM, can you then respond and investigate this and a report be submitted to the committee? Citibank, do you think that you have, the fifth question, do you have internal controls in place, including the internal audit committee, just to cap these findings by the AG? The last question, was there any criminal case or disciplinary steps taken against the official who participated in the bid adjudication within your entity, whereas he had business interest in that contract? Thanks, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we have Honorable Mvana?
Can you pass? I'll come back.
Okay, Honorable Basson. Honorable Basson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, thank you, Chairperson. As you say, Chairperson, I've got a question to Citibank. You know, they are also servicing a huge part of Northwest. And I am really, really worried about Citibank. I really don't know whether Citibank should continue as a water board. I don't see them in the last few years coming up with a mechanism how they would recover money from municipalities. And, you know, for them to say, yeah, they're discussing it with COCTA and with finance. Is there nothing else that they can do or present to the committee concerning this huge amount of debt that they owe the department and municipalities owe them, that they can come forward with some workable resolutions on how they will deal with these outstanding monies, whether it is to take over their service delivery in those municipalities where they bill themselves or they bill the residents themselves. And, you know, I really think we need to get another solution on City Bank, and I would like to hear whether they discuss other means of dealing with the situation in City Bank. The other two water boards, I would like to thank them for the presentation, and on those, I don't have any questions at the moment.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Person. Honorable Masala.
Thanks so much, Chairperson. Let me say that we note the presentation from all three entities. My first question is going to go to the Inkomazi. What do we call this? Inkomazi? IUWMA.
Inkomazi.
Inkomazi, what? So it seems like your entity depend on consultants to deliver to your
Honorable Masala.
Please, we didn't get the question.
Yes, Honorable
yes.
Masala.
We are losing you, Mukhana.
Honorable Masala, we have lost you. Oh my goodness! I think let's move to Honorable Mokhot. We'll come back to Honorable Masala. Honorable Mokhot.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to thank the presentations from the three water boards. My first question, I'm going to direct it to the Sidibeng Water Board. The Sidibeng Water Board awarded some construction contracts to contracts that were not registered with CDB or did not qualify for the contract in accordance with the Section 18(1) of the CIDB Act. How did construction contracts be awarded to contractors who did not qualify? Did the board have the internal controls? If yes, why did you not apply them? Which projects were awarded to contractors without CIDB grading? Can you provide a list of projects that were awarded to contractors? And then the second question is on collapse in leadership in the Sidibeng Water Board. According to the AG, the accounting authority did not exercise adequate oversight responsibility regarding financial and performance reporting, compliance with laws and regulations. There was dereliction of duty on the part of the board and executive management, yet the board paid themselves exorbitant incentive bonuses. Why did the board pay themselves bonuses they did not deserve? Since it appears that the board did not monitor the activities of the executive management of the entity, what did you deal with at the meetings you attended? And another question is on procurement for Vaal Gamagara pipeline project. The procurement in the project is marred. The AG reports complete non-compliance with Section 51(1) and Subsection A, Roman Figure 3 of the PFMA. As a portfolio committee, we request a report on the processes followed to appoint contractors for this project and a list of successful bidders. The board should explain why procurement processes were not followed with this regard. And with regard to financial statement errors, There have been a number of overwhelming omissions and errors on the financial statements. Some emanated from last year. This begs the question whether the chief financial officer is qualified to prepare financial statements or whether it is a case of dereliction of duty. Have the board put in place the consequence management system to address this situation? In light of the incriminatory material findings against the Sedibeng Water Board by the AG with respect to performance information and financial statements whereby majority of these issues were reported in 2016 to 2017 to 2018 financial year. The Water Board does not display any sign of improvement. Instead, its performance is regressing every year. With regard to the fact which I've just stated, I recommend that the Minister to consider placing the entity under administration in order to save it from liquidation. And I've heard that with regard to irregular expenditure and wasteful and fruitless expenditure, the CFO have just stated that they are busy taking measures to address the material irregularities. My question is, these material irregularities that they are addressing now and whereby there's about to be consequence management, are they referring to irregularities expenditure and wasteful expenditure and fruitful expenditure, which started from 2016 to 2017 financial year up to last year, which is 2019? Or are they referring only to irregular expenditure, which incurred last year? And when you look at the irregular expenditure, which has been discovered by the AG, you know, from 2016 to 2017, this irregular expenditure is increasing every year. And every time, you know, they are promising that they will follow or adhere to the recommendations made by the AG. But they never do so. The reason I'm saying they never do so is because right now we are standing at an irregular expenditure of about 419,885,000, and we haven't heard of any results of consequence management, you know, that have been, you know, put to us or given to us so that we can see that they are doing something about addressing this material irregularities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Thank you very much. Honorable,
I'm back.
Yeah, let's give Honorable Mashiro, you have noted that you are back, Honorable Member.
Okay, thank you.
Chairperson. Generally, Chair, I want you to help me here to make my need to understand certain things. The responsibilities of water deliverance to South African people lies in the hands of the minister, therefore a department. The assumption one makes is that in order to expedite delivery of that water or that mandate, this board will then be just created to deal with specific systems of provinces and regions and so forth and so on. If that is the case, why, if this board has been failing so dismally in their day-to-day work, why are they sitting up? Why are they still given the responsibility to do work for an elder of the ministry if they can? And for instance, in Khori, in Freda Khori, they even write there that their power has not been given to them by the minister. But they still continue to work. By imputation, there will be a finding against whatever they did or whatever the money they must be paid, because their powers are not yet being given to them. So they assume that it is their best right to operate even if the minister did not give them the authority to do so. And I think it might be the case in all of them. It's just that Brother Khori is writing about it. And I still want to understand, this board, to me, they must be accounting to the department. Therefore, the minister, in this case, the deputy minister here, was supposed to have started to say to us, I am bringing the committee that I have appointed on behalf of government to do work for us, and they have done work, good or bad. Therefore, please note, and that is not the case. The chairpersons of the board are the ones reporting to us when they are in actual fact. They must account to the minister, and the minister must actually be the one that brings them to us for purposes of accounting. In the other meeting, chairperson, you raised the issue that you are not happy with the view that somebody is saying there must be agencies that is running our water system in the country. And you were saying that we must not support that view. To me, these boards are part and parcel of that agency that I talk about, because it is them who are dealing with the water. But when water is not delivered, you don't hear society saying the boards are not delivering water, but they will say government is not delivering water. When it is them who are not delivering, they is to want to take money from the municipality and claim that they have done their work. Because municipalities does not pay for water. It is residents who pay for water. And if residents are not paying, municipalities can't pay. So this board, to me, and for that reason, even if there is no payment coming to their board, they still pay themselves salaries. For what if their job is to collect money? If they are not collecting money, why are they paid every day? Why should they keep on calling meetings to sit and do nothing? Because they are not collecting. Municipalities are not paying them. Residents are not paying them, but they still continue to call meetings and pay themselves salaries. I should think the minister, the department, in this case, the deputy minister here, should be the person to say to us, what justification is he giving to us for the existence of this board and their continuous working if they are not giving any delivery? I would not want you to get into the detail of each and every one of them. As a general phenomenon, all of them are not meeting their mandate and their target. Impossible or possible, but they are not. Why are they still being paid salaries consistently? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mashego. Honorable Powell.
Actually, I've had other questions asked already. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Mokala.
Thanks so much, Chair. I'm back. My first question goes to Ngomazi Usutu Catchment Management Agency. My question is, it seems like your entity depends on consultants delivered to your mandate. Your expenditure on consultants is more than 15 million on the year view, and previous year, 2017-18, was 11 million plus. Please clarify us. Why the use of consultants? Are there any plans to cap its expense in the future? Because really, within the context, the board will have to employ engineers, quantity surveyors, project managers, builders, people with all skills for sustainable tasks. What kills most of the organization in the inter-black government is that we prioritize outsourcing more than insourcing. And these private companies are driven by principle of profit maximization, and they are at some times not providing jobs of good quality. Number two, my question goes to, it's still on Usutu. It says that the independent auditor's report for the year under review indicated that is currently on investigation by the public protector on allegations of irregularities in the management of affairs of the IUCMA, which covers the period 2013 to 2019. In this regard,
in this regard, the IUCMA should provide details on the nature of the issues that are being investigated and where the complaints emanate from. Then I will go to Bridge Khoris. My first question is, the AG report for the year under review raised concerns on a leadership issue. The AG pointed out that the management did not develop, implement, or fully monitor internal control regarding financial and performance reporting. In this regard, the BGCMA should furnish the committee with reasons on why is this the case and how is it being addressed. The last two questions, I'm left with three, yeah. So it's going to go to Sidibeng Water Board. The first question is, there was a recommendation by the Auditor General that the Sidibeng Water Board be placed under administration. Has the Department of Water and Sanitation instituted that recommendation? On what basis did the Minister place Amatola and Lebella Northern Water under administration this year? Why are there anomalies in the way in which water boards are placed in under administration by the Minister? The second question on Sidibeng. The AG found that goods, work, or services were not procured through a procurement process that is fair, equitable, transparent, and competitive. The state dependence on tenders has a massive political implication and often reduces the quality of work provided because of corruption and the corruptibility of the whole tendering system. My question is, what led to the non-compliance of the PFMA regulation? And then the last question will also go to the Sidibeng. It says that errors on the financial statement are overwhelming. There have been a number of omissions and errors. My question is whether the CFO is qualified to prepare financial statement on, or whether it's a case of dereliction of duty. Was there any consequence management in place to address this situation? Thank you.
Much, Honorable Masala. Honorable Seki, are you back? Honorable Sisoi, are you back?
Honorable Sisoi is still struggling to join the meeting, Chair.
Okay. And Honorable Seki? Kholiso?
Hello, Chair.
Honorable Seki, you have contacted him to be in the meeting. Where is he now? He has left the meeting.
You are having a data challenge, Chairperson.
Okay. So means that all members have spoken in terms of the list that you have.
We can check Mr. Ogart, Chair.
Oh, yes.
And there's a person called Fred.
Honorable Ogart.
Chairperson, thank you very much. My question has been asked, so I'll just wait on the response. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Agas. Honorable Sikela or Sikelo Mabika, or is it Mabika? Honorable Mabika? Honorable Mabika?
Honorable Sipo Sengwe is also in the meeting, Chairperson.
Honorable Kony.
Chairperson.
Oh, Honorable Matika. Okay. You're welcome, yes. Honorable Matika.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
I just want to ask some questions to Citibank. Mr. Dumeng, Chairperson, I just want them to justify their audit findings that they've received for the past 3 consecutive years. How does it happen that the institution will receive the qualified audit findings on the very same issue for the 3 consecutive years? For instance, it says 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, they got a qualification on material findings on some of the objectives relating to definitions and measurement. The issue is, when they got this qualification on the first year, what did they do? Second year, they got the same, and what did they do? Third year, they got the same. And I'll be correct, Chairperson, to say, even for the 2019-2020, they are still going to get the same qualification, because it looks like they are not prepared to change, or they are not doing anything to turn things around. If you see, when they mentioned among their achievements, their financial viability, I just asked myself, how do you say, how do you become happy that you are viable financially, but you are not complying with the regulations as to how to use your finances? For instance, as Honorable Makoto has to say, irregular expenditure, they grow, they increase, they do not decrease. So it's like they are happy with their situation. 2017-2018, they were on 22 million. 2018-2019, they are on 419 million. Obviously, 2019-2020, they will be on 8. The same as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. They are going up. There are no signs of them changing. And lastly, Chairperson, all I want to know, under irregular expenditure, there is somewhere where they say irregular relating to prior year of about 31 million. What's happening there? Why would the irregular expenditure of the previous year be mentioned on the other year? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mapika. Honorable Connie.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to ask a question to Brede Horace, but I'm sure this question will also affect other entities. In terms of issuing of licenses, water licenses, I just want to have a breakdown on according to provinces, especially coming to emerging farmers. The second point, question will go to ECB Bank. We appreciate for the fact that there were responses in terms of tankers which have been delivered to provinces. I'm going to zoom into the Northern Cape in particular, because we did receive few tanks. But the challenge there is that the taps are flat on the ground. How do they deal with that? And some of the tanks were distributed with dirty water. And we feel that they are not properly maintained, and that's in fact what the municipalities are saying. So in terms of what are they going to do, and the question which is always raised is about after they pulled out, who's going to take care of those tankers? In one instance, there was a tank. There's a tank which has been placed in a home of a resident, which is applaudable, because at least they're able to watch or guard that there shouldn't be any vandalization. But what about those which have just been like armed into certain areas? And is it not even cheaper for us to have boreholes to access water than to have to get water from somewhere? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Kondi. Honorable, I say there is another member that has not spoken. We still have some 2 minutes. Who's that calling, sir?
No, Chair, I don't have any indication for now.
Okay. Before I hand it over to the board and catchment agencies to respond, just to add some few questions on the on CD Bank. Can they give the reason why they've not investigated their irregular expenditure in the last financial year before this one? And what is it that and they, as other members have indicated, it has increased the irregular expenditure, means that the board and management, they are comfortable with the state of affairs and they don't even comply. One member has raised the issue of the internal audit. Do we have that? If or are we outsourced from the private sector? And to the department, when we met with you at some point, DM, there was an indication that the Citibank board, I can't remember with which board, they've not went through the cabinet, and we then requested the department to correct that. So can we get feedback in terms of that? The issues of debt, I think we noted them, and in reality is that what the CEE is presenting to us, it's problematic in terms of, because if you don't comply, PFMA, Auditor General raised issues, you don't respond to those management letters, then what do you expect from the Portfolio Committee? Why do we ignore the management letter of Auditor General? So I think that was the issue for me. And then the USUT, I didn't understand the reason that you are showing us a borehole and say it's managed by one municipality. What was the issue? The issue is it that you have delivered it but it's not managed by yourself? And then in terms of the issues, the management letters that even if you got unqualified, but the issues that are raised by Auditor General. Do we have an action plan to address those issues and findings that repeat themselves, will not find them in the next year's annual report? It's a question I want the commitment from the board and the CE. Thank you very much. Can respond to the questions. Let's start with the, as you have presented, let's start with the quote, then followed by USUTU and then Citibank and department.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Deputy Minister, members of the Portfolio Committee and colleagues. My name is Bongani Mnisi, chairperson of the Breedo Horridge Cash Management Agency. I have with me the CEO and the CFO who are going to respond to the questions raised. I'll ask Jan to talk to our acting CEO to talk to the licenses breakdown. except he'll probably be talking in particular to our water management areas, because those are the areas where we are responsible and accountable. And then I will ask our CFO to touch on the issues of the finances and the reporting to the AG as it was highlighted, if that's okay. Thank you, Chair. Jan, would you please proceed if that's okay?
Mr. Chair, thank you. And also Honourable Chair after meeting. Let me start to the question that was asked about what the Beheerder Goudred CMA and all the other boards are doing with regards to job creation. So let me, the Beheerder Goudred CMA, together with the Nkomati Esotho CMA, we manage raw water resources, right? That is important to understand. We are not the same as a water board that supply bulk water to municipalities. We manage raw water resources. So we don't supply drinking water to towns or industries, etc. We make sure that the water is flowing in the rivers and the quality of the water that flows in the river is of a good quality. So when you think about job creation, because we are a processing authority regarding license applications, for every license that's actually processed in the system and finally approved by the Department of Water and Sanitation, there are jobs linked to that license. It's either a farming activity, industry, building activity, etc. So by processing the legal stuff in an efficient way, you're actually able to create work for the youth and also to the women. Also what we do, we do a lot to remove alien vegetation next to our water sources. These alien vegetation are drinking our water so that there's no water available in the rivers for people to use. So in these programs, you need a lot of labor to actually remove the trees from the riparian areas. So in that process, you create jobs. The other thing we're actively doing, we promote our social projects, things like food gardening, drama, water tanks, all those things are also linked to job creation. So what we can do in the field of job creation, we're definitely trying our best to do that. If I can move on, there was a question about by an honorable member about centralized approval by the national office. So And there was also the question, must it remain or must the act be amended to cater that the CMA is more independent? Chair, I must say, since our establishment in 2009 or 8, we all the time receive maximum support from our mother department, Department of Water and Sanitation. They're always with us. And if you want to know anything, they always just say email or a telephone call away. So one thing that we don't have the ultimate authority over is the matter of the approval of the licenses. The matter is any application and approval process linked to licenses are a very, very complicated process. It's highly technical. You operate in an environment where there's not a lot of water anymore available. So my take is the more eyes and the more knowledge that can look at the license application, the better. So I will say for the foreseeable future, the department must still stay central to that thing regarding the license application. Maybe later on, that power can be delegated in totality to the Beheerder Goudred CMA. There was a matter about the powers given by the minister to the BGCMI. All our powers we receive either from the minister or is inherent in the National Water Act. But some of the powers are not yet delegated by the minister. The one I spoke just about, the one about license application, that power is not delegated to us. It still lies with the Department of Water and Sanitation. But we act as a commenting and authority and making a recommendation authority, so that role we can play inside the system without the authority of the minister. Right, then there's the matter of the leadership issues. I mean, after I talk, I will hand that over to the CFO. But that is linked to the
point of order, Chair. Am I the only one who can hear? Maybe it's my network on my side. I'm just checking. Because if we can,
I can hear.
No, we can hear. I can hear too, Chair. Sorry, Honorable.
Yes,
I can hear too.
Network, Honorable Makala.
Thank you, Chair. And lastly, was the matter of the breakdown of the license applications that we receive in our area. In that year, we received 16. Right? I must say, what was received? There were two that was 100% like a black applicant, but all the rest are all BE compliant. Thank you, Chair. If I just can hand over, if you allow me, Chair of the BGC of my board, to the CFO regarding that one about the leadership issues.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. One question is about the agency did not furnish the commission with the AFS as well as the annual report. The reason for that section of the Act was new. We were not aware of that. But in order to rectify that going forward, we've appointed a compliance officer in order to make sure that this kind of thing does not happen again. About the leadership, I didn't hear that question properly, Chair. I don't know whether is it possible if it can be repeated because I've got a problem of network as well.
Which member did you ask that? Can we get other boards to respond and then Honorable Matthews, the education question has not been answered. Can we pass the CFO in the meantime?
Okay.
So can we go to Usutu?
As to the issue of the leadership, it's me who asked the question. Can I repeat the question so that they can answer?
Mm. Okay.
They said they did not hear.
Mm. Yes.
The question was, the AG report for the year under review raised concern on the organization. The AG pointed out that the management did not develop, implement, or fully monitor internal control regarding financial and payment reporting. In this regard, the Breede Gorit Cash Management Agency should challenge the committee with reasons on why is this the case and how is it going to be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Masala. CFO, did you get the question?
Yes, I've got the question, and can I answer that later, please? I need to get what, where is it coming from the annual report. Hello? Hello, Chair?
Yes?
Okay.
Let's... Dr. Thomas.
Usu too.
Thank you, sir. Yes, yes. The first one, my colleague touched on the economic empowerment. In our own small way, the budget that we have, we're trying to also empower the people during our stakeholder engagement. When it comes to contracts, catering, corporate gifts, and others, we make sure we give to the BBE people. We also employ interns within the area from our water management area. So in that sense, we're creating some kind of empowerment. We also give external bursaries to people within the area, the catchment, to study so that they can empower themselves. When it comes to women and youth also, we're trying to make sure the organization has got youth and women. Like I said in my presentation, we've got 49 males and 51 females percentage-wise. If you come to the management, we have got the ECF, Executive Corporate Services, Executive Water Resource Management, Manager, all of them women, Water Resource Utilization, Supply Chain Management, they are all women. So we're trying to empower the people. So on the second question, on the CMAs and then the centralization of activities at the DWS, the challenges. Yeah, my friend said we have been working very well together. That is true. We have been working very well with the department, but there are some issues when it comes to the centralization. It makes some of the work quite difficult when we are not getting access. For example, some of the systems that we have, SAP, whenever SAP is down at head office, because we are linked, our system is also linked, we find it difficult to do some work here. So what we have to do as a team together is probably get some smaller systems that are compatible with the bigger one, so that when that one is down, we can still use the small systems here for our activities. And then on the licenses, my friend talked about it as well. Yeah, and then when it comes to money as well, because we have to wait for money coming from the department, sometimes it comes very late, and then we have to wait, and sometimes maybe seek some intervention before they come. That makes projects to be delayed. That's why sometimes we are not able to achieve all our targets. With the licensing, when it gets to, and I think we have discussed this as a group, as a team, that the license going from the CMA to the department before it gets to, even the DG has been part of these discussions. I think it delays the finalization of the license. So that is one of the factors. We are waiting for the pricing strategy to be approved finally so that some of the things will go on very fast for us. We are also waiting for the Cedo Trade delegation, which, like I said in the presentation, we are working with the Department of Central Office Planning, but if it can get the delegation, it will help us. So the other question was use of consultants. We use consultants, but the use of consultants in the IUCMA is not overly... we don't use them that much. When we came in, things like legal fees, our master systems plan, the V&V, verification and validation, that alone was about 5 million. That contract, that kind of work had not been done, but throughout the country, I think the department will agree with me, we are all using a consultant to make sure that they give us guidance, so that going forward, we can do it internally. Our internal audit also was part of the same contract as mentioned. There was a forensic investigation on in our organization during the period we are presenting. And also, we are implementing our groundwater strategy. That's where we had to also use part of the money. Our decision support system that we have used in the presentation of our water quality data. But now, most of these have been reduced. For example, we are doing our catchment management strategy in-house. We are supposed to finish maybe in this quarter, or finally next quarter. Legal fee on litigation. Now we've appointed a legal advisor so that we'll not be using too much of legal advisors from outside. And then our hydronet fees as well, we have reduced it from about 600,000 to about 180,000. So consultant fees have come down as compared to 2018-19. Chair, on the PP investigation, public protector investigation, the source of the information we still don't know, sir, Chair. The allegations were that we sponsored a concert, CEO increased his salary, and international travel of the executives and the senior manager. The board did an internal investigation and found out that the allegations were false. The department also investigated the same matter. Because when you have a board, it is very difficult for the CEO to increase his own salary. What we sponsored, the first sponsored concert, was the stakeholder activity that we used to clean water cleaning exercises that we did. And then the international travel, they were all needed and necessary. That was done. So that is for the allegation. And then the investigations done so far have not proved any guilt or wrongdoing on our part. On the water licenses, the breakdown in 2018-19, Chair, only about 10% were for black people. Now what we're doing is we're going to the people, to the communities, to educate them and support them. Because some of them, they cannot probably get consultants to do the EIA or the environmental studies. We are trying to do that for them for free so that they can also have access. On the boreholes, we do the boreholes, Chair, for monitoring the groundwater. That is the recharge rate and the quality. But when we get to areas where we feel there is a great need for a small community to use the water, like a school or a small farming community, we site the borehole in such a way that it benefits them. Then we equip it so that they can use it. And after equipping it, we give it to the municipality concerned to make sure they take care of the operations and then the maintenance. And that's what we do. Like the one we did in Kondo, we did the same for them. And they are looking at the operations and maintenance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Usutu. Sidibeng.
Chairperson. My public protector question was not answered. I don't know whether it's because of the network I did not hear or not. It was not answered by the suit.
So they've answered it.
They answered it.
Yes.
Can you repeat, please?
I can't remember now, China, privately. So.
Can we get to the bank?
Thank you, Chair. I would like to start with the following. The question from Honorable Zeke on the BEE and the unemployment in the country as to what we are doing. Chair, Sidibeng has achieved a 95% of triple BEE in terms of what we are supposed to do against the target. And we have employed 41 permanent employees of Sidibeng Water based on the organogram that we have. We have employed 41 people. In terms of the cover page, on the Sidibeng Water site, the chair will answer to the executive positions that are still not filled. the chairperson will get in and answer that one. On the two positions that are filled, the two positions that are filled are lower than the executive. It is the senior manager accounting and the supply chain manager. Chair, we have also noted from Honorable Seke, talking to the regression of the audit opinion. It is true, we had a number of issues that happened towards the financial year end. One of the issues is that we changed the accounting framework, which we were advised by AG that we should change from the IFRS to GRAP. And that actually caught us when we did not have the skill internally to deal with those matters. Hence, we have all the matters that have been raised. Had we stayed with the previous framework, which is IFRS, we couldn't have had these particular issues that were raised in terms of the deferred income, WIP, and also a commitment that were raised by the Auditor General. We also have, we do have the internal audit department. It is actually working almost 98% in the finance department. We are adhering to the report. We believe that in this financial year we should have an improved situation because we have also appointed the people who are responsible for the particular areas that are a challenge to us. In terms of the question from Honorable Basson on any other mechanism, what is any other mechanism that can be done by Citibank Water to actually assist to assist itself in terms of this debt collection? We have actually intimated that we are also going to go the legal route, whereby since we can't, of course, because of COVID-19 now, we have to actually take the legal route and actually sue the people in terms of what they actually owe us. So the process is going to unfold from the month of June, and we are going to continue to press the people to actually pay us legally, especially the Northwest and the Free State, because there is no commitment from those two provinces to actually pay. On the matters that have been raised by Honorable Mohotu, we have the CIDP contract. Why did we not follow the process? At that particular point, we were actually trying to connect and find the CIDP. There was no response. There was no positive response. We ultimately went and did the registration. We could not register on their database. So we finally registered in the following financial year. However, because of the fact that you would not be able to come out of an irregular expenditure in that manner, the contract has to come to an end. We are now at the end of those contracts. In the new financial year, we would not be having, that is the 2020, would not be having some of those contracts that were not, where we did not register ourselves on the CIDP. There was also a request that we should provide a list. We will be able to provide this list by next week Friday to Parliament. We will send it via the department. In terms of the collapse in leadership and oversight, Chair, we are looking at even readdressing. There is a process already that has started in terms of the appointments which the chairperson will actually deal with. There is a process to actually bring back that leadership into the organization. And the leadership, we want it to be from executive downwards to make sure that everything is actually done accordingly. in terms of the omissions and the errors, in terms of the CFO, I've already alluded to the reasons why we had such problems. We want to say in this current financial year, we are not going to have that because we have the correct skills to actually do the particular work at a short period of time. Actually, we already have started to have these financial statements to comply. Performance information. We have... there is some sort of improvement, but it is not really what we want to see. We want to have achieved most of these targets in this financial year, especially the audit outcome and also the improvement in the managing of the irregular expenditure. This, as I've indicated, we have now a supply chain manager that is really looking into the detail of what happened, and some of the items that are irregular is just deviations that must go to National Treasury. So it is those separations that we are now going to have and done in a correct manner. We have the placing of the entity under administration. The department will actually, the DM will deal with that in his closing remarks. Taking measures addressing consequence management in the 2016-17 and 2017-18, consequence management was taken. There is a case that was opened in terms of that. We can provide the portfolio committee with that. We are currently busy with the 2019-20 and the ones that were in the previous financial year so that we can delineate those that are irregular and those that we have the leeway of going to National Treasury for condonation. We have addressed the issue of the irregular expenditure increasing. It is because of the carryover that we have had. And I also want to look at the 31 million that was actually included in the irregular expenditure. It is an error where we did not include in the previous year some of the irregular expenditure. We agreed with AG that we should actually disclose it in the new financial year. That we agreed with the Auditor General, and it is what was not accounted for in the previous financial year. In terms of Honorable Mashefu, why are we given responsibility to work? For us, we are a bulk water service provider. When we have our reservoir levels at a particular level, we believe that we can be able to supply. However, at circulation level of municipalities, sometimes there are serious leaks, and you find that the water does not get to the people that are supposed to get it because of the internal recirculation that is there. In terms of the next question from Honorable Mohlala, the issue of being placed under administration, I think that matter will be tackled by the DM, Deputy Minister, and procurement, that is not fair and equitable. We have actually dealt with that. We would want to make sure that in this current financial year, you will see that our irregular expenditure would have been categorized and we would have dealt with the issues that relate to irregular expenditure in detail. So before we get to close our books in this financial year, we would have taken all the necessary steps in relation to the irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The errors the accounting errors. I've already spoken to the matter, and I would want to assure the committee that in this current financial year, we are busy cleaning up and making sure that when we get to the audit, we are ready in all respects in terms of the financial errors. Honorable Mabika was talking to the audit opinion, which is not unchanged, and it is actually going down. We also are looking at that, and we are saying we want to assure the committee that we are going to do everything in our power to ensure that we improve this audit opinion in this current financial year. The financial viability, yes, we are financially viable. However, we have problems with cash flow because of the issues that we have raised in debt for debt collection. Irregular expenditure, I have already discussed that one of the 31 million that has been brought in the 2019 financial year. The tankers in the Northern Cape, currently we are busy with ensuring that we build a stance for the tank. What happened was that because of the COVID-19, we had to make sure that the tents are actually delivered. We had agreed that the people of Sidibeng Water will make sure that there is something like a pipe that goes out of the tank if there is no stand yet. However, I will be following up immediately after this meeting, and we will report back to the committee as to what is the current status. Mostly those tanks were the COVID-19 tanks, which we had to speedily deploy. The dirty water, there was a challenge in the northwest, in the Northern Cape, where there was a tanker that was not compliant. That tanker was for the COVID-19 and it was retracted, it was removed, and we have now stabilized the area of the tanker. The pulling out, that is the demobilization. What is happening is that for the COVID-19 process, there will be a demobilization that is starting later, the 1st of June. The reason for this is non-sustainability of the water tankering in terms of cost. However, in the Northern Cape, we have actually we will be redeploying other tankers, or we are busy also drilling the boreholes at nearby areas where we can be able to stop tankering and making sure that the water is actually piped through the communal standpipes or the communal tank, which has been procured. There is a plan of continuity in that area. From the chairperson, why the irregular expenditure was not investigated? Chair, we are finally busy with the process of the investigation, which will be presented to the board by the 30th of June. And the irregular expenditure has increased. It is true. It is actually a brought forward also from the previous financial year. Would want to see that this irregular expenditure, we actually address it before the end of this financial year. Internal audit, they are there. It is in soft. We actually are working hand in hand in making sure that the internal controls for the organization are improved. So we are attending to the matters of internal controls and improving the internal controls generally. The matter of the board going through the cabinet, the DM and the chair will address that. On the debt, chair, we want to ensure that we give people water. However, we are not going to further be able to supply, to do the service if we are not paid. So we are going to go the legal route, making sure that we recover. And we would want to do this as we are entering June, July. And we believe that we'll be able to collect going forward. Chair, I would hand over to the chairperson and the DM for the other questions to respond to the rest of the questions. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I managed to be here at the last moment. I've got two questions.
No, Honorable Sikoi, we are now at the responding. No, Honorable Sikoi, now we're on. Honorable Sikoi,
I can hear you, Chair.
Yes, I'm telling you that yes, they are still responding. We'll see if we still have time. If the time is gone, we'll have to arrange that to write letters.
Okay.
The CEO responded to my question on financial statement errors, but she did not respond properly. She just said that she noted the errors on the financial statement. But she's not saying anything about my question asking, is the CFO qualified or able to prepare financial statements? Was there any consequence management in place to address this situation? The chairperson is coming from Citibank. Can respond on my question as well, because the CEO did not respond properly. Thank you.
Okay. No, your line is not clear.
What?
Chair?
A router was there, I know.
Chair?
Yeah? Router was there, I know.
Chairperson, your line is not clear.
Am I audible now, Chair?
Yes.
Hello, Chair. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Proceed, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Chair. The board that is now dealing with this aspect only came into being in April or functionally from June last year, the current board. The three unqualified audits started as early as in 2016-2017 audit outcome, which was subsequently carried to the 2017-18, and these 2 years were the years which were involved during the term of our previous CE. And for the past 13 years, Citibank has been audited by the private companies. The AG only started in 2016-2017. That's how all these things started being revealed. And the board have always tried to get deeper into even previous years to check on all wrongdoings based on what the AG picked up on the first audit outcome. The then acting CE, after the disciplinary process, his service was only terminated on the 13th of June 2018. I just thought I must give that first background. And secondly, the previous board has just adopted the new structure early last year, February, March, when before that board was then dissolved. And like I say, this new board only came into operation in June last year. Currently, the board have taken a decision to start the top of the pyramid, to start recruiting first the CE. During the presence of the CE, you will ensure the filling of all other positions that are acting, COO, CFO, and all the relevant high-level structure positions. But we are taking note of the emphasis at which the portfolio committee is emphasizing that we must ensure that we are speeding up this process. The board have taken a resolution that the earliest by the 1st of August, we should be having a new CE, who would then ensure that all the structural formation is taken into account. I think the CE have tried to cover the majority of the other issues as raised. As a critical thing of the increase on the irregularities, the board itself tried to find out from the Auditor General, and the Auditor General emphasized that on their first year of investigation, they saw that there was things that were overlapping to the previous years. That's why the irregularities, whilst they were looking deeper into the previous years, the irregularities also rose. Is the irregularities that are rising based on the wrongness of the previous audit that has happened prior to the current board's time. I thought, Chair, I must just emphasize those aspects. With regard to the...
Can you switch on your camera?
Cabinet,
can we switch on your camera?
I don't know what has happened to my camera.
Okay,
let me see. I was saying the issue of the correctness of the board, I think the DM will deal with that one, chapter. I think I've tried to cover the critical governance aspect that Chair wanted me to reflect on. Thanks very much.
Okay, CEO of Citibank. Are you able to answer Honorable Masala better?
On the issue of the current CFO,
yes,
our acting CE is the CFO. So our acting CFO is our management accountant. Our view was to fill these positions with a fairly qualified people as a matter of urgency. As said, Chair, we are starting with the CE to be followed with all the other executive management positions. If you can note, the CE herself is acting, the CFO is acting, the COO is acting, and the company secretary is also acting. We are taking all the positions, the board have taken a route in all these positions as a matter of urgency. Start from top with the CE first.
Okay. Can we then have a DM and your team is the DGRL?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I do have the DG has apologized, just stuck with some work in terms of financial mobilization with Treasury. I have Tavi Sen, a Funda who is acting for him, and we have Ume Thokoz Gwaza who's doing oversight on these entities. I'll just give them a minute or two just to deal with some of the administrative issues, and I'll close on this, Comrade Chair. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honorable Member. I'm going to answer to two questions that are related to the governance issue. One was the issue of what does the department do in terms of supporting the entity with the irregular. From the department side, we have established the forum where the chairperson of the audit committee in the department chairs the chairperson of all the entities to address the issues of among others, to address the issue of the increasing of the irregular expenditure. In that meeting, Chair, the state is a part of the discussion. And on top of that, there's also the CFO forum set by the CFO of the department to address to all the AG findings. And that is one of the support that we are providing as an oversight. On the issue of the ratification of the board, indeed, yes, the debate is one of the boards that ought to have been ratified. It is not only one. And at this stage, Minister is applying their mind on the options in terms of that he has to take a decision. All of those that were did not go for cabinet, whether she dissolved them or she continued with the board. So that decision has yet been taken by the minister. Thanks, Chair. I think I will hand over to the DM to respond on the issues of the decentralization of the function and other issues. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much to yourself and other members. Chairperson, there are certain issues that I think they are all cross-cutting. Can I proceed, Chair?
Yes. Honorable members, can we mute our microphone?
Guests, not honorable members, Chair. To the guests,
our guests, can you please mute your microphone?
Thanks, Comrade Grace. Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. Some of the issues that are being raised by a number of members, and in particular, Honorable Mashiko. Chairperson, we should just note that as we have been receiving these reports during the course of last week and this week, our entities, Chair, they are at a different stand. Some are doing well, some are actually struggling, as you see. And as our team is indicating, we'll do whatever it takes as this ministry to support them, because they are an important instrument of the IT to discharge some of their activities. One of the things we should just remember, honorable members, that the first two presentations that you received, these are the entities that are established in terms of the National Water Act. And the last presentation you received from the Water Board, their functions are confirmed by the Water Services Act. The first two, Chair, you will know, they've just been established during our time as a democratic dispensation. So that when we manage the water resources, we manage it at more at a community level in terms of decentralization. They call it at a catchment management level. And that process has taken long, because by this time, our timeline, we should have created about 9 of these institutions. But the team that is led by Osis Togo Squaza, they have actually made a submission to myself and the minister to approve that we should be able to create more of these agencies. Okay. These agencies, they've been given delegations, but delegations are given on a gradual basis, Chair. We don't give them full delegations because, firstly, these institutions must be established. We must create the necessary capacity. But at the very same time, they are in the very same space where our provincial offices are, that we call them regional offices. Therefore, the issues around transition, around delegation, I know, for an example, that Inkomati also to CMA have requested additional delegations. They've just been recently been approved, because we need to do an assessment. We can't give you delegations without doing a capability assessment, whether you have the capacity to implement. The very same thing with the Brede Horitz a catchment management agencies. There is no catchment management agency currently, Chair, that is operating without the approved delegation in terms of the National Water Act, that the minister from time to time assigned those particular responsibilities. The point that is raised by the CMA, the predecessor, if there are issues of further delegation on the basis of the assessment, a consideration will be made on that particular point. With respect to Sadie Beng, Chairperson, members are correct, is one of that institution when it comes to financial management, the results are not desirable. And we'll do whatever it takes, Chair, that we should be able to assist them to turn the issues around. And the remedial action plan will be monitored on the issues that the AG Chairperson has raised, including the issues of the stabilization of the administration, because as long as the administration is not stabilized to have people that are full-time in terms of assuming certain position of responsibility, you would be actually having some a tentativity whether you can hold people accountable. Chairperson, the issues about their financial health or financial position. The financial position of some of our water entities is deteriorating, in part, Chairperson, because some of the water users are not paying for the water that they utilize from us. And that matter, you directed us to come back with Comrade Dow, our Deputy Minister for Cooperative Governance, Traditional Affairs, and SALCA, because it's a broader matter that all these entities, when they come here, they will be raising these issues. But equally so, we will also try to improve from our side. Inkomati also to CMA and sometimes other boards, they also complain about the department's inability or the delay to disperse the funds that were supposed to disperse. And that criticism, Chairperson, we accept it, and we'll find ways to do issues of improvement. Generally, the first two entities, which are the institutions, the two CMAs, have reached a stage of maturity in performance. Even if you look at their performance indicators on the delegated function, all of them, Chairperson, they perform above 90% in terms of non-financial performance information. We have also noted that in terms of financial performance, they have all received their unqualified audit opinions, which is very good, but it's not actually, there's still a room for improvement to actually go to a level of unqualified audit opinion with no matters of emphasis. Those are some of the things, Chairperson, with the guidance of your committee and honorable members, will try just to strengthen our performance. Yalebo, Chair.
And DEM, the
thank you.
What are you doing with that to when is that going to get finalized? Because everyone is waiting.
Thank you, honorable meeting.
You just ignore. What are you going to do?
Honorable Mutala, please. Honorable Siswai, because he had a network problem. Honorable Siswai?
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. We appreciate. I was in a moment to give up. Just two questions, Chairperson. It may happen that they've been asked in my absence. I hear that said bank, because there's a non-payment of services, they have made it happen that they are taking some of the municipalities to court. If I recall well, Chair, that this committee has a process with POCTA to address the issue of the debt from municipalities. I am not sure if that process is aware of that relationship between the two departments. The second one, Chair, in the report, there is a non-utilization of budget of the financial year until the end of the financial year. What could be the reason that the funds have not been utilized? I would imagine that the budget was meant for a particular program as an intervention to services to our people. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Skwai. Honorable Mafika.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to make a follow-up on the question that I raised regarding irregular expenditure. Well, I'm not a financial fund, so I need to be taken through bit by bit. How, Chairperson, does it happen that an irregular expenditure of another year that was reported on that particular year is also reported on the next year? Because I heard them saying one reason of the increase in their irregular expenditure for the other year, which amounts to about 31 million, is because of it was carried over from the previous year. So I don't understand. I need clarity on. And if it is reported, it's reported, and you start using the funds for another year, and it gets reported as such. So how does it happen? Because if that is the case, then that would mean in the next financial year, this amount will carry on for years and years. It will remain there, and nothing will be done about it. And I don't understand. I need clarity, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Matika, irregular expenditure will remain in your book until you have investigated them and submit your condonation to the Treasury, and Treasury condone that, and then it become regularized. So with Citibank, they have not done that. That's why all of us were asking the same question differently, to say why. You have not dealt with management of a letter from the AG. So that's the issue. It will never go outside their books until they investigate them and get condemnation from the Treasury. It will require. That's why it's important that we raise it, that we cannot have such books, because it means that somebody's not doing his job. Honorable Minister, DM.
Can I follow up, sir?
I follow up. Okay.
Is it myself?
I can follow up. Chairperson. Chairperson, Honorable Mukhot.
Honorable members, I'm trying. Honorable members, the time
yes, Chair.
14:59. So the meeting is adjourning now.
You have not responded to other issues.
No, I agree. Even okay. The GM has not responded to my issue. But the time for the meeting has come to an end.
He must respond.
We request them.
He is our first chairperson.
So,
on to all the members.
Honorable members, the slot that we have is finished. So they will do it in writing and submit to the secretary of the committee, which will be delivered to all of you. So, honorable members, the time for the meeting is finished, and I want to take the opportunity to thank you, all of you, and the meeting is again.
You can't just take one out of a lot of money and put the dead one that is not one of
Thank you, Chair, for all the entities.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, entities.